Forget rain and sleet. Red ink is giving the Postal Service big problems.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith in for Bill Radke. The post office is holding a briefing today. It says it needs to raise rates. It also wants to eliminate Saturday delivery. The Postal Service says it's been hit hard by the recession, which has eaten into junk mail advertisements. And of course, the internet has long been eroding its business. Our own Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us live from Washington, D.C. to talk about this with us. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Stacey.
Nancy, what is the post office saying about all of this?
Well, as you mentioned, postal officials have scheduled a briefing for today. They're going to talk about the amount of the increase. They say, look, the price of a first-class stamp hasn't gone up since last year. It's still 44 cents. They say they need to raise rates and cut Saturday delivery to save money. The Postal Service has lost almost $4 billion during the last fiscal year, and that is despite cost-cutting and the elimination of 40,000 full-time jobs.
How is this likely to impact the businesses that rely on the Postal Service?
Well, it's kind of a mixed bag. On the one hand, you have the CEO of Hallmark telling the New York Times that Postal Service would lose business if it raised prices and stopped delivering mail on Saturdays. But then you have the top guy at Netflix saying he could live with mail delivery just 5 days a week. He says just don't raise prices. And there's another group of businesses and charities that depend on the Postal Service, and they formed a group called the Affordable Mail Alliance. And they say if they have to pay more to send out ads and letters, they'll have to cut jobs to make ends meet.
So what's next?
Well, the request for a rate increase goes to the Postal Regulatory Commission, and that commission will start hearings on the increase next week. And Congress would actually have to approve the elimination of Saturday mail delivery. And so far, there doesn't seem to be a lot of support on Capitol Hill for that. Some members of Congress say the post office should actually market its Saturday delivery so it could compete more with delivery companies like FedEx.
Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington, D.C. Thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome.
U.S. markets were closed yesterday for the holiday weekend. They open again later this morning, but overseas markets are looking good so far this morning. Asian markets are up after getting hammered in recent weeks. The Shanghai Composite Index rose 1.9%. Tokyo's Nikkei Index jumped 0.75%. Europe picked up that cue. London's FTSE is up 1.6%. Paris's CAC 40 is up 2%. Oil prices are back up a bit this morning, about $73 a barrel. Investors hope good news from the markets will mean economic growth and more demand for oil. AAA says travel was up more than 15% over the holiday weekend. That's meant lots of full planes and lots of overbooked planes. But regulators are looking to crack down on airlines' practice of bumping passengers to later flights. Eve Troh has more.
Frequent flyer Andrea Valdez has been bumped 9 times.
I consider myself a bit lucky when that happens.
She gets a voucher for a few $100 and even kudos from the flight staff.
Oh my God, we're so thankful.
They should be. If Valdez didn't raise her hand, they'd have to force someone off the plane and pay them up to $800 cash by law.
No, I didn't know that.
Most flyers don't. The Department of Transportation wants to make compensation rules more clear and raise the fee for involuntary bumps to about $1,300. George Hobica runs airfarewatchdog.com. He says that increase now keeps pace with inflation, and it's also a slap on the wrist.
I think what the DOT is trying to say to the airlines is, let's make it more painful for you to bump, and let's do it less.
Hobica says DOT also aims to get airlines to add more flights. They've been holding out because it's cheaper to hand out vouchers than fly with empty seats. DOT's proposal is open for public comment until August 6th. I'm Eve Troh for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the New Harvard Business Review. The July-August issue is on newsstands now, featuring an in-depth interview with Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
If you're thinking about going back to school, consider this: a master's degree in gelato making. Megan Williams has more from Bologna, Italy.
Group six is vanilla, hazelnut, and coffee.
Not every college has flavors as core subjects, but then few are called the gelato university. run by the Carpigiani gelato-making machine company in Bologna, Italy. The so-called university attracts hundreds of international students a year, here to study the fine art of preparing this frozen delight.
Ready? Okay, here it goes.
Steve McAllister from Boston keeps a close watch over his first batch of hazelnut gelato as it oozes out of a stainless steel machine.
What are you doing here?
Well, I'm having a midlife crisis, and I work as a fundraiser, and I've started to think, well, a few years from now, when I burn out, I have been wondering about what I would be doing. So I thought I would do something else that I like, eat ice cream, and in this case, make ice cream.
Gelato has 30% less fat than regular ice cream, and that appeals to an increasingly health-conscious America. So says Luciano Ferrari. He's the head prof of the English language gelato course.
Frozen dessert technologist. That's my title, if you will.
And in Italian, how do you say that?
Gelatiere.
Sounds better in Italian.
Ferrari says gelato sales worldwide are rising slowly but steadily. Since the recession, though, gelato's low cost and low fat has made it a popular treat and an appealing business. Enrollment in the English language course this year is up by about 50% compared to past years.
From all those people who see their job in some kind of danger or that want to, you know, have a backup plan. Because at the end of the day, we've seen that the consumption of frozen dessert in general and of gelato in particular has gone up during the last few years.
It's good business for Carpigiani gelato machines as well. About 20% of students taking the course end up buying the machines to start their gelaterias. Talk about a sweet, soft sell. In Bologna, I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
And finally, that whole internet fad, it's on its way out. Pop legend Prince told British publication The Mirror that the internet was like MTV. It had its moment and now it's completely over. Personally, I'll be surfing the web like it's 1999. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.